Good evening, everyone. This is the Conscious Corner. This evening, Professor Amin-Ra is not able to be with us. So in that spirit, we wanted to continue the conversation that we were talking about last week. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Roski Maskani. We have a couple of new people that's visiting this evening, and I'm happy that they came. We have Brother DX invited Brother Chiwara and Noble Carlos. Welcome, brothers. I'm glad you're here. We have our regulars, Brother Doctor, got Brother Mashinda, Brother DX. We have Brother E and Brother Hembrick. Hembrick is the co-host of the show. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off with Brother Hembrick. Brother Hembrick, thanks for coming this evening. And we're going to kind of continue the discussion from last week with Palestine and Israel conflict at the moment. Is there anything you want to start us off with before we go to the other panelists?
No more than we did last week. That brother wants to go ahead.
Say that again. Well, the brother, one of our companions, Brother Iweze, I wasn't able to contact him. He wanted to add a few comments to the discussion, but he's not here this evening. But I can move on and go to another person if you want me to do that.
No, I was just going to say, it's all about the land issue, which the media doesn't discuss. They talk about all the other stuff that they want to, the Jews control the mass media, so they say what they once said, but no one talks about the taking of the Palestinian land. You never hear about that in any discussion, which is the main root, which is the root of the whole issue, which is never discussed. So, but anyway, you can go to other panelists.
Okay. Let me, Brother Chiwara, Brother DX said that he had some pretty good information for us regarding this topic. So Brother Chiwara, would you like to give us your perspective on this conflict?
This conflict entails a vast history. And if we just focus on the conflict of today, we will not really be looking at the facts associated with it. In other words, what we see happening today is appearances. Things appear to be one way. And it's presented in the format of an appearance, as if this conflict just started. It is a conflict that has been ongoing for many generations. The region itself has been filled with conflict throughout the history of the region, from the Persian Empire and other empires. The Palestinian and Lebanese people has always been ruled by other ethnicities. However, what's going on there now is between those Jewish people who have established a state called Israel. They are also called Israelis. And their treatment of the indigenous people of the land. Their claim to the land is biblical. From Exodus, they speak of their rights to the land, and they have returning, they're returning to the land, and so on and so forth. I'm not an expert in the field of the region itself, but I like to look at it from Germany's standpoint, as it relates to Albert Einstein, as it relates to the United States of America and his connection, their connection to Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, to the nuclear weapon used upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki, to the agreements that were made. You know, that aspect of it is what I am more familiar with.
Okay. Thanks for that. I have another gentleman that joined, and he's on the iPhone. Brother, can you unmute and let me know who you are?
Hi, my name is Ron Vize. I put my name in the chat. Okay. And I would refer to you guys by Elder Mitch Williams.
Oh, okay. Appreciate you coming. That was a last minute thing. And
yes,
Brother Mitch is one of my mentors and my teacher from when I was
Amen.
In high school. So appreciate you coming. Now, our current topic is we're talking about the Palestine and Israel conflict. Mm-hmm. Do you have a perspective on that?
I would say a lot of times when I speak, I like to put things in the form of finding out a question. So many times when we speak, we make definitive statements, and sometimes they're not factual. And like the last brother who just spoke before me, I love the way he talked about Israel has a right to the land according to the Bible. From my experience, and I am by no means an expert in this area at all. I retired from the Air Force, served in the Corps. I work at Los Angeles Air Force Base now. So my perspective might not be kind of like some of you guys. And I think we should welcome when people don't think the way we do, just so we can try to figure out why do they think like that. And I say all that to say that from the people I've been talking to on the streets and the little talks I've had already, it a lot of times what's sad for me is this comes across like a black and white argument, a racial argument. Hamas is a terrorist group. Almost every nation in the world recognizes them as a terrorist group. If you want to make a change, you don't go to somebody's land. If people would stop and meditate for 5 minutes, if somebody came into my house and chopped off the head of my children, would I want to have a dialogue with them? I wronged them in the past, so now I'm going to speak to you because you chopped off my child's head. So what did you really want, sir? That's sick, disgusting behavior. So we should never encourage a terrorist group or be on their side because we think maybe it's about race. And so if any American gets into the hand of Hamas, regardless of your skin color, they will be happy to chop your head off and hang it up to proudly say, look what we did to that American. So I know my perspective might not fit in with a lot of the way that people think, but we need to stop and think. The United Nations approved Israel as a state. Israel didn't just go there and say, we're here, we're a state, you have to accept it whether you want to or not. United Nations said, we approve, you are a state. If, I know a lot of people hate this opinion, but I've heard this quote and I love it. If Israel puts their weapons down, they will be wiped out. Because what is the war cry from the other side? I don't remember exactly how it was, from the something to the sea. We want to wipe them out. We want to get rid of all the Jewish people. We want to get rid of that nation, push them into the sea. But if Hamas puts their weapons down, Israel's not going to go in there and wipe all of them out. So you don't have to agree with everything I'm saying. You don't have to like it. But it'd be appreciative if we could. I'm an analyst by trade. If we could analyze things and show that we're looking at things not from just the point of my skin color, my racial group, my even like where I'm from in America, but like that other brother had pointed out, he sounds extremely, I would love to hear a lot more from him, extremely intelligent, because he's talking from a biblical, like they like to do, we have claim to this land. Well, why doesn't Israel have claim to the land? Because the media has told us it's our, you know, we just want to hear what we want to hear. If we challenge ourselves and go do some research, there's a lot in writing that does show they have claim to the land. So then the next question is, how do we move forward together? How do I move forward with a neighbor who is going to attack me no matter what I do? And whether we like it or not, Israel is, I've been there, a diverse nation. There are people from every race, racial group. When I was there, I met a woman from Latin America who moved there. Dark-skinned lady at the airport, best move of her life. She said all the benefits they gave her, they teach her son. She's never going back to Latin America. So we have to remember, this is not, just in case anybody has that view, I'm not trying to say everybody does, this is not a racial war. This is historical, biblical, and at least, please, do some more reading, do some more research. Don't look at it from just the one side of Hamas should have the land or something like that. And then I'll leave it at this. Egypt, I don't hear anybody in the media and nobody I speak to ever talk about they can go to Egypt also, but Egypt locks down that border and doesn't want them in. And none of the Arab nations that love them so much and want to fight for them, none of those nations are letting them in. So we have to look at all aspects, not just our view of what we want to hear, and say, why haven't we been able to come up with an answer to this issue yet? So I will stop there. Thank you. I appreciate you letting me share.
Okay, well, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I appreciate you coming on. Now, what I can add to what you're saying, it would be that we are living in a strategic racial context, because we are, it's evident of that, because everything is based on race. So I don't per se say that this war, this conflict is racial, but it is strategically with race that's involved. And you have the United States backing Israel. That's one thing that I do know. And for any person to be a part of a genocidal type situation is not good. And for the United Nations, if the United Nations allow the state of Israel to exist, who gives the United Nations the authority to do that? It has to be a power base, if I'm thinking this way, that allows that and then subject these people to a small little space, to over 2 million people, to keep taking their land. I mean, it has to be something. Something's not right with that. And then both fractions can't come together and negotiate how to be peaceful and how to be fair in land distribution. It's a lot to grapple with, and to see how this is going down and how evil man is. Who religion? What religion have to do with the evil So it's a lot going on there, but I appreciate what you're saying. Dr. Charles Alexander, I'm glad that you made it. I wanted your perspective on this conflict, Israel and Palestine conflict.
Good evening and good evening, everyone that's on. Charles Alexander, I'm a clinical psychologist by trade, and just a person who just who generally appreciates history. One thing about this conflict, people are trying to determine like who is privy to the land. I will suggest that if the argument is going to be that this is a biblical directive, then I'm not sure the role of the French and the British in the United States. And so what this has been is an international land grab. And that's not my opinion, that's what the history says, that this is an international land grab. And it starts in the late 1700s when Napoleon suggested it be a place for the Jews. And there's nowhere in the history of this discussion where Palestinian, you know, whatever the relative rights to the Palestinians have been considered. There's never been a discussion with regard to the Palestinians. It has been European forces said that Jews should be able to be there. And from 1790 something forward, that has been the nature of the conversation. And most of a significant amount of the research will even suggest that, you know, this is all wrapped in the Zionist movement. And so the Zionist movement is a white supremacist movement. Again, it's not my opinion. That's the facts of the Zionist movement. And it is fairly likely that the initial, in a historical sense, the initial aggressive or initial aggression was fomented either by the French, the British, the United States, or the Zionists, who thought they were entitled to the land. And so this has been going on this entire time. This isn't, you know, so this really isn't about, it's not even about the incursions last week or the week before, because what the media is leaving out of that is that across media outlets, they've been reporting that that there's been settler aggression at historic heights every year for the past 3 years. And so at a point, Hamas responds. Good, bad, or indifferent, if this was about Hamas and not the larger Palestinian population, then why are they randomly bombing Palestine as opposed to seeking out Hamas? Because this, what we're seeing now, is really pretext. Like today, they bombed a hospital. So did they have intelligence to suggest that that hospital is housing Hamas? Is there a Hamas tunnel under the hospital? Is that why the 500 folks who were seeking refuge were murdered at the hospital?
Well, to be fair, they did say they didn't bomb the hospital. I don't know if that's true, but what they're saying is Hamas might have bombed the hospital themselves.
And so from Hamas is false flag.
My experience and knowledge, that would not be shocking for me. From my, I, and like I said, I'm an analyst. I do have access to a lot of information. So mine is not based on feelings. I look at what has happened and who is the main, first of all, you know, we like to use little cliches and words. Oh, they're living in an open air jail when that jail is firing bombs down on Israel regularly. So how are they getting bombs from Iran if it's so locked down? And why would so many of us here in America be supportive of Iran giving them bombs because they should be free? So,
I'll just stop with this.
This has been, I would love to hear what is the answer. We can all talk about the issues, the problems, and our opinions of who we think is right or wrong.
But a lot of great minds Israel is not entitled. Considering that I was the person talking,
I'm sorry, I apologize.
The answer is that, again, this was brought on about not by some dictate of the Lord. This occurred because of the French, the British, and what became the United States. That's how the Jews got there in this current iteration. And that's how they are able to stay, because of United States military might. That is also in direct violation of some of the international funding rules. Like the monies that the United States gives them, they're not supposed to be using those monies to build up nuclear armament, but they do. And the reason that they are able to be there, period, is because of the United States military. And so the thing is, if they have a right to be there, then so do the Palestinians. And it is the Palestinians who are suffering whatever is the wages of war.
Okay.
That's just historically accurate. That's not an emotional response. That's historically accurate.
Okay, Dr. Charles, Brother Chara, I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, but he wanted to interject something. So go ahead, brother Chiwara.
Yes. The solution to the problem of the world today will come by way, and I'm going to say this, and many people may not like it, but it will be the black genius that will reveal the solutions of today's problems in the world. The solution, to be simple about it, is the truth. The remedy is truth. If we cannot accept what is true, then we will continue to war and murder and live in an illusion based upon impropaganda, which they call propaganda. It's not proper at all. It's improper. The truth is, the Palestinian and Lebanese people belong to the land. And this has been the issue. They belong to the land. Now, if you belong to the land, that means the land must belong to you. The history of that area and those people, particularly the Lebanese and Palestinian people, occupation is nothing new to them. They have been occupied for centuries. However, these individuals who came out of Russia and other parts of Europe to claim that which they say belong to them because God ordained them based upon the stories that are being told to the world. Well, why the Palestinian and the Lebanese people are so outraged about that reality that these people, I should say the illusion that these people have created in the world, is that their land is taken from them. No other occupiers did that to them. So they was okay with being occupied. But when you take a people's land, you're taking their life. If you take their life and not expect a battle, an unending battle, then you're dealing with a delusion, dealing with a psychotic people, a people that is dealing with a psychosis that is being taken as normal. Now, there's a form of government called a totalitarian government. This is the type of government with reservation that we are told that these particular people came out of to establish a state called Israel. We also must understand there is another form of government. This government is called a kakistocracy. Kakistocracy. This form of government runs hand in hand with a totalitarian type of government. I would say at this point, Israel represents the Israeli government, the Israeli people represent a totalitarian type of a governing body. Ran totally by the state, controlled by the state. The people have nothing to say. And anybody that says anything that is not in line with the state is quickly and swiftly taken care of by any means. We in America, which is the biggest supporter of the state of Israel, which I'm not opposed to any support that one wants to give to whomever one wants to give that to, because every man has a right to live and be free. Every man has a right to decide his own destiny. Every man has a right to self-sufficiency. Every man has a right to self-reliance and self-determination. The American government at this point, as what I can analyze, and I'm not an analyst and I'm not an expert on anything. I'm an expert on the human spirit, because that's what I live. I'm an expert on the black man, because that's what I am. America is at this time being governed by a kakistocracy. It is a sort of form of government in which the lowest of the lowest of the intellectual intelligence of the nation is the head of that nation, is in the rulership position. In other words, the dunce, the most dunce people or individual or group within the society politically are the ones in control of the government. So, you know, when we talk about what's going on in Israel state now, we got to understand that Albert Einstein had a lot to do with it. What's going on right now is a product of Albert Einstein's work, with the production of the nuclear, the atom bomb, which was subsequently dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The only nation in modern history, or any history that I'm aware of, which is the United States, to ever use and detonate a nuclear weapon, which totally devastated Japan, wiped it out, destroyed its structure, and reshaped it and built it right back up, gave it the American Constitution. The Japanese culture, the Japanese race, the Japanese government is nothing more than a reflection of the American political structure, which, you know, just the Japanese people are just a figurehead. Now,
Brother Chamara.
Yes.
Man, look, you are, your analysis is exceptional, in my opinion. And I want to come back to you because I want to include everybody. You just dropped some science, you know. Now what you said was pure, and you know when you said that the dunce is running this country, and you know you are so correct. I never heard it put that way. And you, yeah, anybody that's, oh man, that was beautiful. Okay, let me, I'm gonna come back to you, brother. I appreciate it. Okay, now, folks, last week, Brother Iweze, he's a real close companion of mine, well-studied, well-traveled, said that he had some things he could have added to the conversation last week. So I wanna hear some of the things that he would have said. Brother Iweze, I want you to make sure you listen to this because I know you just showed up. When we finish and I put it up, I want you to listen to this because Brother Chiwara, he said some things that was point on. I mean, it's the truth. Like he said, truth. Yeah, I never heard it put that way, but you got to hear it. Okay, Brother Iweze, please, you know, give us some of the things you would have added to the conversation last week when Professor Ra was here. Brother Iweze, can you hear me? Can't hear you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Did you hear what I asked?
Yeah, I heard you. Can you come back to me on that question, Brother Rigo, Brother Rashiki?
Yeah, I just wanted you to kind of touch on a few things that you would have added to the conversation last week. You can't do that at the moment.
Okay, so the last week's discussion was about the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Yeah, and we continue.
If I can just add my two cents into that discussion, to give a little bit of background about who the Israelis are. You know, a lot of people, they don't know the full history of where they came from, how they got into that land. You know, the world knows them as the Jews. And pretty much associate them with the biblical Israelites. This is one of the claims of those who are in that land calling themselves the Jews, that they were pretty much returning back to their homeland after being in exile for 2,000 years. They were returning back to the land of Israel after being exiled primarily in Europe, being persecuted in various places, and needed a homeland for the Jews, and what other place than their original homeland of Israel. And so I just wanted like to shed a little bit of light on, you know, who they are and how this is like a misconception in terms of, you know, recognizing them as the original biblical black Israelites who used to live in Kemet or ancient Egypt, you know, primarily during, you know, like the 18th dynasty. You know, in the book of Exodus, it says that they were driven out during the time of Pharaoh Ramses, which would have placed them there, according to the biblical tradition, during the 18th dynasty of Egypt. Now, if anybody know about the 18th dynasty, you're talking about, you're not talking about the Egypt that you see today. You're talking about black Egypt. You know, you got pharaohs like Tutankhamun, you know, Akhenaten, Nefertiti, Queen T, who was King Tut's grandmother. If you ever seen a picture of her bust, now, you know, this was a black woman, no doubt. All you got to do is just pull her up, Queen T. And this was the setting and the context in which the biblical Israelites would have dwelt in the land of Egypt before they ended up in the Exodus under Moses, who, according to Exodus chapter 12, Moses had an Ethiopian wife. Moses was mistaken as an Egyptian in the book of Exodus. So, you know, the original Israelites, they were black people. So how did they become white is the question. And, you know, many don't know that, you know, these people whom the world is calling Jews today are actually European converts to the religion of Judaism. And, you know, many may not know about the story in 740 AD in which the Khazarian kingdom, which was situated around where Ukraine is today and Western Russia, and Kyiv was one of their main cities, matter of fact. And you may be hearing about Kyiv today in the news. But this was one of their main cities. So in around 740 AD, they converted Judaism. And, you know, ultimately, you know, with the collapse of their state, they were, you know, pushed into other Eastern European territories like, you know, Poland, the Czech Republic, you know, the Balkans, and, you know, just other Eastern European territories. So, they took Judaism with them. But something different happened around in the late 1800s, in the 1880s, was the birth of Zionism. And Zionism changed the game, because no longer were they just practicing Judaism in Europe. Now they had created a political movement to take advantage of European imperialism, European colonialism in the late 1800s to take over the land of ancient Israel, or as some know it, as the land of Palestine. And so, you know, through various efforts by purchasing land from the Ottomans, you know, they were able to acquire certain, you know, pieces of land and set up communities, farm communities like called kibbutzes, and, you know, allow, you know, just a certain amount of Zionists to trickle on in. But it wasn't until the British, you know, who needed to protect the Suez Canal, one of their missions. The British, remember, they controlled Egypt, and they needed to protect the Suez Canal. And so the British thought that it was politically expedient to allow great waves of the Zionists to enter into this land, that they could protect their interests in protecting the Suez Canal. And this is how many of the Zionists ended up in that land. So, you know, I just wanted to like give a little background as to where they came from, who they were, that they're not necessarily, you know, who you might think they are, you know, but are actually converts to the religion of Judaism. Now, in terms of the original Jews, the original Jews were an African people. of Black people. One of the greatest Roman scholars, his name was Tacitus or Tacitus. He was a Roman historian and a senator. He likened the Israelites to a race of Ethiopians. So all you got to do is just type that in, Tacitus and the Jews, and then you'll see his piece about who he thought the Israelites were. And according to him, he thought they were a race of Ethiopians. Now, you know, as a senator within the Roman power structure, you're not going to just be saying stuff like that unless what they really look like, you know, a group of Ethiopians. So I just want to, like, you know, just throw a little bit out there to get people to think a little bit more critically in terms of, you know, when they have these narratives of who the Jews are, and, you know, just think a little critically, dig deeper into your history and to see, you know, what's going on, you know, underneath the surface before you just accept the status quo and the narratives that are pushed on you by mainstream media.
Appreciate that, Brother Blazer. Really do. All right. I'm going to go to Brother E. Brother E, any comment or questions you have for any of the brothers so far?
I just want to state the propaganda that's going on in the media right now. It's kind of seem as though they're trying to have people in conflict with each other. Like, for example, today with the hospital bombing, you know, they say Hamas, and then they says the Israelis done it, you know. So it's the media is trying to play with people. You know, I don't know what the ultimate, you know, what they're ultimately trying to do. I just noticed, you know, with the children being beheaded and stuff of that nature, you know, I don't know if there's any evidence of it or if it's occurring, you know, or which side is doing it. But just a lot of misinformation going around that I have noticed throughout the last few days. That's about it.
All right. Thanks for that, Brother E. All right, Brother DX.
Yeah, peace and blessings, everyone. I'm grateful to be online today. Very interesting conversation. I was just reflecting off of the elder and, of course, Chihuahua, where they're talking about it being a holy war and about the, you know, the land being basically saying, oh, God said that we could have this land, and then it being backed by individuals that, of course, had their own agenda. And
Brother DX Rose,
I reflect back to the story of the separates with his firstborn was Ishmael, and then Ishmael, according to the Quran, that's where Muhammad and the Islamic faith became prominent through Ishmael, and the brother of Abraham, I mean the brother of Ishmael, which would have been Jacob, who later changed his name, became the 12 tribes. And so there's like the basic conflict on a spiritual level of the brothers, you know, from Cain and Abel, Enki and Lil. The brothers are being in conflict with one another, even Jacob and Esau being in conflict. And that's what's happening now, is saying, oh, who inherits the kingdom? Who inherits the land? Who gets the inheritance from the father? Me, you, you know, no, I get it. Nah, I get it. It's me, it's us. And the thing about it, like, we all know, you know, we constructively know Abraham was a melanated being, you know what I'm saying? On that level, if you look at it from historical, like, the inhabitants of that land and who actually was there first. We know we first. So it's like two people fighting over some land that's not even theirs, in a sense. So whoever gave the rights to say, hey, we got it or they got it. And ultimately, you know, the solution really comes to a degree of spirituality in level of what is God's plan? What is God's real plan? These folks can basically take themselves out, each other. And you know, you draw your gun, I draw my knife, you stab me, I shoot you. And that's where it is. And to me, that's what's happening right now. Even where the conflict is taking place, it seems more like a chess game, gentlemen, because they're doing the same thing in Ukraine. You know what I'm saying? For some of the same reasons about land. We saying we go with the water, we get this and this and that. And so you have two major powers, Russia and the United States, fighting wars on other people's land. So I'll back this group and you back that group. You know, Hamas is not getting the guns from nowhere. One time they was saying they was using makeshift rockets from the rockets that the Israelis were shooting, and they was taking them and breaking them down and making the some homemade rockets in their garages or whatever and shooting them back at them. So it's always that, you know, kind of conflict of this is mine or this is mine. But I think ultimately, I think God's going to have the final say so. I think nature's going to take over and nobody's going to be able to dispute who the land really belonged to, because I don't think the ones who really own it are just sitting over here on the phones and stuff. We talking on our cell phones, discussing it, talking about it. So I'm going to leave it at that. And I appreciate everybody and thank everyone for participating. I'm open to all the ideas. It's really good to have it. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go to Noble Carlos, because I think Noble Carlos may be the youth of the panel. Noble Carlos, so any comments or any questions of anybody or what? What you want to add to it, Brother Carlos? Noble Carlos?
We all are very youthful in our own divine ways. I would like to first address and say I'm in deep gratitude of being in y'all's presence and having these type of conversations in space and time. It is very interesting to hear the different perspectives and the different knowledge that has been gained about this thing that we are seeing. My question would to be, as a person who is listening to a lot of different things, how do you decipher between, you know, people getting upset with you about not supporting what's going over there instead you realizing that what is taking place over there does affect you over here, but if you cannot conquer the things over here, how can you help them over there?
Well, that's quite interesting. Let me go to Brother Doctor and then Brother Hembrick, I'm coming to you. I see you got your picture on. I know you ready. So Brother Doctor, any questions or comment?
Just go, hey, great panel, man. Great to hear from the brother, the iPhone brother. I don't know your name, sorry, brother, but I'm glad you came on with your point of view. Mr. Alexander, Brother Alexander, his point of view, and Shawara. The great points of views, man. I love shows like this, but we all are different in our point of views. But you know what I've always been saying, man?
Go ahead.
Ain't nothing gonna change, man. Ain't nothing gonna change. There's no solution. Nothing's gonna change, man. It's, you know, you guys, like I said, I just learned from the last show. I went into this Israel-Palestine thing. I know I have a neighbor. I talked to him about it. He's from Palestine. I just talked to him about the show last week and told what Brother Rod said, and he agreed with Brother Rod 100%. I asked him about his family. He doesn't have anybody in, Gaza? Gaza, well, he doesn't have anyone in Gaza, but he has his grandmother still in West Bank. And he said, you know, she was, you know, really doing bad with cancer. So he said most of his family is gone. I know the, you know, I talked to, you know, the family there. I know they lost a close friend a year ago in some type of war or somehow. But nothing's going to change. You know, I got to be the 10th man. I wish they'd just blow each other up, man. You know, I wish a nuke would come, blow both those up. I wish Russia and Ukraine would blow each other up. You know, and, you know, just solve it, man, because they're just playing, man. Why are you playing? You got a bomb, blow them up, man. Just stop playing. You know, it's Like I said, this nothing's going to change, man. I go out to everybody who thinks something's going to change, but I will stick to my guns, man. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change until you destroy each other. If you don't destroy each other, it's always going to be there, man. It's always going to be there. That's it.
Well, that's a way of looking at it. Okay, before I come to you, Noble Carlos, I'm going to let Hembrick. I know Hembrick wanted to say something. Go ahead, Brother Hembrick.
You know, I can wait. I'm listening to everybody. Has the other brother spoken already?
Who was that? Well, he had raised his hand. Noble Carlos, he was asking about, and I want you to repeat that, Brother Noble Carlos. I want you to repeat that. But then what was your reason for the hand?
So the question was, it kind of just answered itself in the brother's next response. I had realized there was this quote from a wise man. He was like, you will realize violence is not the answer when a mosquito lands on your balls. And I it took me a minute to realize what was actually being said, but then you think, you know, everybody first instance is to kill the mosquito, you know, but how you gonna kill it, you know, when it's on, you know, when you're in that tight situation, what are you gonna do then, right? You know, so it just showed me, either I heard it in this conversation or I heard it in another conversation. I was listening to a video with Brother 19 Keys and the Prince of Africa. And he was telling 19 Keys, he was like, hey man, honestly, what I think it is Black people don't have a voice. They're always getting stood in for. There's always someone else representing the Black community. And I'm talking about with world leaders or in different types of organizations. He was like, think about it. He was like, the Jews just carved out a whole situation to where they're saying, you know, I'm a Jew. What does that mean? You know, but you say you're Black. They're like, okay, there's different variants of colors. So we literally almost accepted what we were told. But what I say to that is like, we are the solution, you know, to this whole problem of existence. Like I hear a lot of people say, you know, we are the original people. And there was this one question that came up between me and another brother. He was like, man, why don't Black people ever just support like Black people? Like, why are we always going to each of the other communities? And I was like, well, brother, if we're the original people, that means the rest of these people are our children. So why wouldn't we go and support our children? You know, like, and it just made me think. And I was like, dang, that was deep, but that's really what's going on. It's like, it's just time for the father and the mother to be more disciplined, you know, and really sit down with our kids and let them know like what's really going on. And I know most people be like, that's easy to do. Or in this situation, it'll be hard, but I'm like, nah, like it's really easier when we come together and we have these situations or these conversations to let people know like who we really are. So that was my thing. What you gonna do when there's a mosquito on your balls? You'll realize violence is the answer.
Man. Brother Hembrick. Brother Hembrick, you there?
I'm here.
Anything?
Let me just say that there's quite a few people on here that I do not know. First time I heard them on the show before. And let me just clarify my position. I'm a historian by trade. For the last 40 years, you know, I majored in it in school, found out I didn't know jack, you know, because I went to one of these European universities. But in my research, it's been a long time doing this. When we make reference to those areas, and after I heard somebody talk about Egypt, Kemet, if you will, and the Bible, and these things that we like to make reference to and applying to this situation, you know, we need to go further back, you know, before Bible, to Book of the Dead, the pyramid text, the coffin text, and see where these stories of the Bible actually came from. And these figures that we think were real folk and weren't. But when you're writing a story, you know, we talk about, you know, the Jews. Well, the the word Jew didn't come into existence before the European became one. And prior to that, they were Hebrews. And the Hebrews, you know, the first one were the Falashas out of Ethiopia. The biblical story about their enslavement and all that is just not so. But when you're writing a story, you know, you can write what you want to write. That's why they're using this justification for the land. They're the ones who wrote the story about it. And in actuality, when they were in Egypt, they weren't slaves. They didn't build no pyramids. If you read the book, it says they built cities and things, but they were allowed in from a famine from the area that we're talking about right now. Those areas, Palestine, Lebanon, you know, all those so-called Middle East areas were actually colonies of Africa. Those were African colonies at the time. Okay. And then outsiders start coming in, changing the complex of the people. And as far as the Hebrews were, they came in because they were starving. The Egyptians took them in. And then when the Arabs came in, invading, those very, you know, Hebrews that were helped by the Egyptians jumped on the other side. And so once the Africans rose from the south and expelled those people, they told those Hebrews they had to go by Egyptian law or leave. And they left. There wasn't no sea opening up and all that old biblical hogwash that they use to control our minds. But there's a lot of stuff in that book and that are taken from earlier African stories, and we need to know, you know, where these things that came from. Now, getting into these Jews, so-called Jews, because they're white now, in Europe, they owned a lot of things. And let me mention their handbook for those of you who do not know. It's called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, where wherever they are, they plan to control certain institutions. Mass media is number one of the main ones. TV, magazine, radio, newspapers, you name it, they run it. Transportation, education, law, medicine, all these things. They want to control wherever they go. And that is one of the reasons why a lot of countries give them the power that they do, because they control institutions that can mess with them in all of those areas, like transportation. Look at the shipyard, the airline, the railways, all that stuff. They run in the show, okay? And, in 1948, these European nations got together because they was floating around on a boat, you know, trying to find a homeland for themselves because of what Hitler had supposedly done to them. And so when they got to Palestine, this boy, Menachem Begin, the boy who wore the patch over his eye, he just blew the ship up. So they couldn't go no place else. And the issue with this whole situation is they took 55% of the Palestinians' land. Now, somebody outsider came to your house and took 55% of your house, and they had guns, and you didn't have nothing but some rocks. What are you going to do? Now, as the years went by during the time of Yasser Arafat and all them, you know, they were throwing rocks and bricks, and now some people have given them more ammunition. Because those Israelis, under the Zionist thing, keep taking more and more and more of their land. So at what point does the people get fed up what's happening to them? Okay. Now, as far as the media by blowing up hospitals and all that, these Israelis, they do a lot of dirt. They do a lot of dirt. But when they control the media, they can frame it and use the propaganda like they want to. But they've been brutalizing these people for the longest. So at what point do the Palestinians, through Hamas or ISIS or Iran, or whoever, the only thing that's stopping them other Arab countries from coming in and dealing with them, Jews, is because of their nuclear capabilities. Okay, that's the drawback. Now, America, for the last, have given 80% of their foreign aid to Israel. 80%. They already got money. It's strategic military bases around there that the United States uses to keep an eye on folks around the world. Okay? And that's what's going on now. A few years back, a lot of those nations start putting the United States bases out. And the brother that's in the Air Force can probably attest to that. You was in the Air Force, you probably know. And you're an analyst. But all I'm saying is, the way the people got the land to begin with, they're like the American, the Native American. Somebody's in their house and keep taking it. You can't hardly even find them anymore. Okay? And when they, and even if they try to get the little casino, they make it hard on them on that. So that's an example I think we can all go by, because that's what's going on. That's what's going on with this whole situation. And land is the basis of revolution, as Malcolm said. You know, I got to have my land. I can't grow. And then they give them the worst land that's there. Same way they did the Native Americans. Put them on their reservation. You couldn't grow. You can't even grow grass on it. So how they gonna eat? You know what I'm saying? And this is what the but like I stated when I first came on the show, Europeans make up 9% of the world's population. 9%. Them and those European Jews include all the rest of the white folks. And this is how they maintain control. The rest of the 89% is black, brown, red, and yellow people. Okay, so this is what they do to keep power. And like the young brothers talk about killing the mosquitoes, I don't know. I think the only one can lead us, the world, out of this is African people through African spirituality. But African people don't even know what that is. They drinking the Kool-Aid, all these other, I hope I don't offend anyone, but religions that we going by. That's why there's a Bible in every hotel in the United States. You go to that drawer and it's there to indoctrinate you to their way of thinking. We suffer from Willie Lynch syndrome to all other kind of stuff. But until we can look in the mirror and love what we see looking back at us and others that look like us, we ain't going nowhere.
All right. Let me, you know what? I got to go to Brother Machinda and Brother Chihuahua. I'll come right to you. Thanks, Hembrick, with that. Brother Machinda. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, a lot's been said, man. I agree with a lot that I've heard. You know, it just boils down to, you know, what you believe. You know, I just trust. I hope that everybody, you know, do their own research. You know, triangulate and understand. You know, get a understand. I think everybody made some great points tonight. I appreciate, you know, what I've heard. And respect for others that, you know, I might not necessarily agree with from my own perspective, but I'm still learning. So just to have this kind of discussion tonight is very healthy. And I think that more of it needs to go on, just to, you know, because this podcast is put together to educate people, to provoke thought and discussion in higher order thinking as it relates to a lot of things. And this is just one of the topics in the news that is being discussed, a major situation that is going on in the world. And so I think we all need to pay attention. But we know that, you know, obviously something is wrong. Something is, you know, and it's evident. There's all kind of evidence and to try to decipher what's really going on. It's just that we have to do our own research, and I appreciate all the contributions. I'll continue to learn and, you know, and hopefully be able to educate others as I, you know, move on. But, you know, thanks for the opportunity.
Appreciate it, Brother Mashinda. So, Brother Chiwara, you wanted to respond?
Yes, man. When you're faced with a situation that is vast as the cosmos, as vast as the universe, you have to be able to see through all of the deception, see through all of the appearances, straight through to the essence of everything. You may have trillions and gazillions of stars, but you had to be able to see beyond the stars to see the true glory and beauty of the universe, of the heavens. I'm saying all this to say, truth is the only thing, and essence is the only thing cannot be tampered with. As long as we continue to discuss the appearance of things, we get stuck in that matrix, which we never get out of. We do research, a lot of us. And it is also said that the credibility of the history is only as credible as the one who wrote it. So we have a situation where you have a lot of us are studying a lot of things, but those who present the study that we're studying are not credible. What do we do? Where does the original truth lie? Because that's the answer to everything, the truth. We have to also understand that we must go within ourselves to behold the essence of everything outside of ourselves. I teach my children, and I teach my grandchildren, which numbers that I'm 13 now, and I teach my 8 children, it numbers at 8. And I teach them that the most important thing in all of life is self-control and self-discipline. Why self-control? Because if you master self-control, then you have the ability to control everything that you call your world, and everything that is defined as the world in which you're in. Without self-control, you cannot have no control over anything, because one must first control themselves before they control anything. Self-discipline becomes also ultra important, because without self-discipline, you cannot achieve anything. So if we want to achieve peace on earth and goodwill unto all, if we want to achieve an harmonious and a unified humanity, because all the rest of nature is harmonious and unified. You don't see the tree roots fighting with the earth. You don't see the tree trunk fighting with the tree roots. You don't see the fruits on the tree fighting with the limbs. You don't see anything like that. So with self-discipline, we are able to find a solution to what's going on, not only in Israel, but also in all of the entire global planet. We'll be able to do that. So we must venture within to find the truth, because it's not going to be, it's like finding a needle in a haystack out here. Some people say this, someone will say that, this history will say this, you go further, history will say that, and you're searching and you're searching and you just go inside and you automatically are outside. There are other things that I would love to share, but cannot share now, because it goes into an area of consciousness wherein many of us really are not prepared for. Because I'll give you an example. We are at war. The first casualty of this war is words. Now people say, oh, words, that's words. Words are very powerful. I'll give you an example. The word nice, N-I-C-E. Etymologically, that word means foolish, ignorant, frivolous, senseless, careless, clumsy, unaware, not knowing, silly. That's what nice means. However, the majority of people in the American society and maybe around the world use the word nice as it means something good. So while we are saying to our brother and our sisters and to our children, be nice, thinking we are telling them to be good, we are. It's a magic spell casted on ourselves and on our people and on the whole world without our knowing this. We have signed a contract, an adhesion contract, with words that are dangerous. So when I say you have a nice wife or a nice husband, or you live in a nice neighborhood, or your children are so nice, we don't realize that we're saying our children are stupid, foolish, ignorant, unknowing, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when I show people this, and then we continue our conversation, we have been so programmed to use that word nice instead of the word good. Why don't you say you have a good wife, a good husband, you have good children? Why do we call our children kids when they're not kids? They're children, they're sons, they're daughters, their youths, they're male, they're female. So beyond what is happening in Israel, amongst the Israeli people, beyond what is happening in the UK, it does not concern us. We are the consciousness of the divine God, the creator of all things, who said, I will make you in my image. So if you made in the image of that God, then you must be that God. If I say I'm going to make you an image of a tiger, I'm not going to create a pigeon, you know? So when it is written that you're made in the image of God and the likeness of God, and you'll be given dominion over all things, these are the solutions to today's problem. When we get that into our consciousness and understand that we have dominion over everything that was ever created that have life. We have dominion. That's not a belief. We just need to know how that dominion exists. How do we access it? How do we utilize it? That's another program. Okay. That has nothing to do with this here. So okay. I'm just hitting on that. You know, you hear people say, you my boy. The definition of boy is black slave. So every time we use that, that's what we're doing. Unknowingly, word sound is power.
Okay.
Word sound is power. So we need to really look into that.
Brother Chihuahua, we definitely want you back. And we're here weekly. And you could sit in, and I definitely want to have you as a guest, and we will make that happen. I want to get to Brother Ron. Brother Ron, and we're going to close out the evening after we hear from Brother Ron.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'll be very short. First of all, I just want to thank you and everybody on for allowing me in your space. I know my views don't align with a lot of people, but that's okay. And the one brother, I didn't catch his name, who was talking about, who touched a little bit on the Ethiopian Jews. I would love to hear him expound on that in the future, because that's my neighbor and my next door neighbor's from Ethiopia. Dream of going there one day. I've done a lot of research on that. So I would love to hear him talk more on that. And no disrespect intended to the one brother who was talking about the Bible. I just want to make sure you understand there are many African Americans who have spent years, 2, 4, 6, 8, in college, other research, studying the history of the Bible, studying Jesus. They understand he's not a white man, and they are very happy with the research they have come to. So you believe what you believe. God bless you. And we are very happy with where we are with who he is. So thank you again. I appreciate you allowing me in your space. God bless you guys.
Appreciate you coming. All right, everybody.
Let me just say this. I hope I didn't offend anyone, but let me just say what I think we need to do is seek truth, knowledge, and to become one with nature. That's what the ancients have asked us to do. And I see the brothers agreeing with me. And brother, me and you need to talk about the cosmos and all of that, because that's another area that I'm into right now. And to answer the brother's question, is just research those books I was telling you. Just look at the Osirian drama. Look at the life of Haru or Horus, and you'll see where all this stuff comes from. But anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. Everybody have a good evening, and thanks for the opportunity to participate.
Well, you are the co-host of this show, so thank you for being here. So I want to just thank everybody, Brother Doctor, Dr. Charles Alexander, Brother Chihuahua, Brother Ron, Brother DX, Brother Machinda, Brother Hembrick, Brother Noble Carlos, Brother E, and Brother Uweze. It's been real, you guys. And we got to do this more, most definitely. And tomorrow, let me show everybody who we got tomorrow. I want to share it on the screen. We got Brother Damian McCalman. I think this is his fourth visit, and he has a youth program he works for. So it's youth development, gaining their trust and admiration. That's very important. We really need to connect with the young. So that's tomorrow, everybody. All right. So I'm going to say each one teach one. In Conscious Corner, we're going to have a good evening, and we're taking our pause.